And welcome to Oh, a Podcast, the podcast about playing games and making games, brought to you by O'Rock Studios. I'm Paul Franzen, the head boy of O'Rock.
And I'm Michael Gray, the head writer of O'Rock.
How's it going, Michael?
Fine, although I haven't been doing any O'Rock work, really. I apparently have been doing a lot of solo work. Speaking of solo, have you seen the movie?
No, I haven't.
I haven't either. Let's talk about it for the next 15 minutes.
All right. I think it looks dumb. I think it answers a bunch of questions that nobody really needed answering. I think the guy looks, acts, and sounds nothing like Harrison Ford, and I think the movie's totally pointless.
Oh, quick to the heart, and it's too late. Now, I think it's probably going to be pretty decent. I like Ron Howard's directing work. I think he does, I don't know how to explain it. Like, he always does, like, at least a solid 5 or 6 out of 10, even with his bad stuff. Like, you know, The Grinch Who Stole Christmas, which is really not the best of films, but I still liked it and enjoyed it, and I'm sure that's the same way, it would be the same way if I actually bothered to see Solo.
Mm-hmm. I feel like they're really, I mean, and this is like the coldest take possible, but I feel like with all these spin-off movies, they're really starting to water down the Star Wars franchise. I kind of wish, as much as I actually genuinely liked Rogue One, I kind of wish it just stuck with like the numbered movies coming out like every 2 or 3 years. Like, I don't need a Star Wars movie every year. It's like how I don't need a Marvel movie every month either, but you know, that's where we are with those.
Yeah. Well, did you hear that? I mean, I just saw earlier, like an hour earlier, they're kind of canceling all the Star Wars spinoffs now because
really?
Of Solo being disappointing. So they're like, we're not going to do the Obi-Wan spinoff or the Boba Fett spinoff that they were planning.
We're not going to get a spinoff about the Jawas, man.
Well, I've only seen like the first two Star Wars movies, so...
By first two, do you mean... The original first two, or the prequel first two, or the sequel first two?
I saw every one of the prequel movies when they came out, and just like this past year, I watched the first two.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, Star Wars and then Empire Strikes Back.
Oh, I mean, if Jar Jar Binks was your introduction to the Star Wars universe, I can kind of see why you put off watching the rest for a while.
I actually don't think he's that bad, but...
All right. No, actually, I can't complain. Like, my older brothers, like, they were like the right age when Star Wars came out, I think. Like, they were around when Star Wars was originally in theaters. I wasn't. And, you know, when I was a little kid, they kept trying to get me into it. I watched it a few times with them, I think, and it didn't do anything for me. Like, I was so bored by Star Wars when I was, like, 6 or 7. Like, I just thought it was the dumbest, lamest. And then, you know, I watched it again in high school, and it was awesome, so.
Well, it's interesting me watching it now, because I sort of had the same reaction. But
yeah.
I can tell, you can tell the movie's made 30, 40 years ago, because just all the various decisions. They do, like, swipe cuts all the time.
Yeah.
But, no modern Star Wars movie, I say, would be that slow pace, because it takes them like 30 minutes to get off the planet, and then they spend another 30 minutes inside the Death Star, which is interesting, but it's still like 30 minutes basically inside the same location.
Yeah, well, I think, did you see, gosh, what was the one that came out last year that everyone hates now?
The Force Awakens, yeah.
No, The Last Jedi, the one after The Force
Awakens. Oh, yeah,
Awakens.
Okay, yeah, The Last Jedi, yeah, that's the one everyone hates now.
Yeah, I felt like that was actually, that the pacing in that was kind of off, too, and I'm sort of an apologist for the movie. Like, I didn't think it was the thing that completely ruined Star Wars forever for everyone, like other people say it is, but, like, the entire, like, middle third of it, like...
Is unnecessary.
They could have cut that out, and I would have been fine with that.
You mean the part where they went to a casino and helped horse gamblers?
Yes, I do mean that.
Well, it's interesting, because, you know, my wife and I kind of got into a little argument there about it, and Personally, it's a bugbear of mine when movies do that. I complained about this with Frozen 2, where the plot happens because the characters don't talk to each other like normal people do. And so that happens exactly with that Star Wars movie, where General Purple Hair refuses to tell everybody what her secret plan is. And she's like, I'm just going to pretend I have no plan. And she's surprised when the rebels that she's leading are rebellious. But on the other hand, Poe is also a complete jerk to her for no reason. It's like, oh, you're in charge. I'm going to be a jerk and not believe you're in charge.
Well, I mean, I guess, spoiler alert, basically everyone's dead by the end of the movie. So I guess whatever they were trying to do, it didn't work out well for them, the characters, I mean. Right, isn't it? Doesn't it end with, like, the rebellion having, like, 8 people left in it or something?
Yeah, it's very sad. Yeah, I feel like it's also strange to see that you could just have a ship go to light speed and use that to destroy another ship. That just sort of retroactively asks the question of why they didn't bother doing that in any other movie.
No one thought of it before. Totally original idea. Well, you guys are more like Star Trek people than Star Wars. Is that a fair assessment?
To be honest, I only really like Star Trek Deep Space Nine, which is the soap opera one. So it's the one fans don't like, if that makes sense. Yeah. So I don't know if I can make any judgments. But still, interested in seeing where the Star Wars franchise is going to go now that they basically have no characters left. They're all dead, like you said.
Yeah, and the ones that aren't dead, the actors died in real life, so like, not gonna be easy. It's gonna be, yeah. I don't know. I really liked The Force Awakens. I thought that was fantastic. I'm still excited to see what happens with Episode 9, with whatever they're calling that. I don't think they've said yet.
Yeah, I thought The Force Awakens was okay, I guess. But then I saw the first one and I liked it a little better. I think it was. Oh, here's my thing. I saw the first movie and I thought Luke and Leia were just like the cutest couple ever. And so, and actually, one of my Twitter followers recommended I read the book, the first Star Wars book ever written, which was supposed to be turned into the sequel, except it became a hit movie and made a bunch of money. And so they actually got a budget for the sequel. But in the book, Luke and Leia totally become a thing. There's like an awkward flirty chapter where I think he's like in a bar or something and they're pretending to be locals from this dangerous place. And so he pretends that she's his slave girl and, you know, he slaps her for speaking out of line. And then when they go outside, she slaps him back. She's like, that was for treating me like garbage. And he's like, oh yeah? And he picks up some mud and throws it at her. And then she throws mud at him. And they have throwing mud time with each other.
Oh man, I'm so sad that we were robbed of that scene on the big screen.
Yeah, just when they're about to kiss, you know, bad guys show up with a knife and try to fight them.
That's something I always think about with big plot twists in franchises. Even in just movies and games in general, is like, How far back were they thinking this plot twist was going to happen? The them being siblings, I guess, spoiler alert if no one's seen Star Wars, Darth Vader being his dad. Like, how much of that was something that they were planning from the beginning versus how much of that is something they thought of on the fly when they got to that part of the script? That, like, I don't want to say the name of the game because I don't want to give any spoilers, but I just played this co-op game with my buddy Eric where there was this huge, huge plot twist about, like, 7/10 of the way through the game. Like, we're getting close to the game, and it kind of hits this crescendo with this, what was a really cool plot twist. But, like, if you thought about it for more than 5 seconds, almost nothing that happened in the game to that point actually made sense in terms of the plot twist. It's like, okay, none of these characters would have been doing any of these things if this plot twist were true. Like, this isn't how any of these people should have been acting. So it really made me wonder, like, really, is it just that they were working in the design document for this game and they got to that part of the script and one dude turned to the other, he's like, you know what would be really cool is if this happened, and then they just kind of high-fived and wrote that into the game.
You know, we have it documented on Star Wars that both of their big plot twists in movie 2 and 3 were made up on the fly.
Yeah.
So, You'll notice with the outlines I gave you, I actually have some plot twists, like, predicted in advance, so it should be more natural. Were there any big plot twists in Cat President?
I can think of one for Rover's bad ending.
Yeah, that was made up on the fly. But
yeah,
with the pizza,
but it was
delivery,
also hilarious.
With the pizza delivery boy who saved the world, I kind of made up that plot twist, the big plot twist towards the end. I sort of made it up at the end and went back and wrote it in to have it work. Yeah. So,
no, I really did like that. I think the first time I read the script, I even like made a comment in the Word doc. There was like, "What? Oh my god!" And I think you're right. Like, I think it really did like make sense for the rest of the game. Now, I don't think there's anything that happens earlier in the script that contradicts that to any real degree. I'm excited to see how people are going to react to this game. I guess, are we still talking about Star Wars, or should we move on to actual game development?
I guess we could move on to actual game development.
Do you have any more thoughts on Star Wars you want to get out real quick? Yeah.
So I noticed the new Star Wars movies aren't like the older Star Wars movies in that, I don't know, there's some sort of quality that's lacking in the scenes. I think it's because now it's a big blockbuster. So it's not like, you know, the old movies where, you know, people make references to specific scenes from those movies. Like, Obi-Wan has trained you well. And, you know, I could name like 10 other lines which have just been absorbed into pop culture osmosis.
Yeah.
Not the case with the new Star Wars movies at all. So, I mean, people remember the Ewoks much better than whatever those monsters were in that last movie. They were cute, though.
I did think The Force Awakens, I think I liked the comedy in that one. And that's not something you really say about the original trilogy, unless I'm mistaken. Like, they aren't exactly laugh-a-minute films.
Yeah, no, they aren't. But it was interesting. I do remember seeing the original Star Wars in theaters. Now, I guess I must have seen it earlier, though. But the first scene of the movie where the droids just run across a hallway where bad guys are shooting every second, the people in the audience just started out laughing. They burst out laughing. It's like, I had no idea that was supposed to be a humorous scene. I guess it is kind of funny that they're able to casually walk across a fire field without getting hit.
Well, there is the part, too, where the one stormtrooper accidentally hits his head on the ceiling. Like, there was, have you seen that? Like, it's not, it's like, it's totally unscripted. It's just like the actor screwed up and it got left in the film.
I was kind of surprised at how mean C-3PO is to his buddy R2-D2. They're supposed to be buddies, but in that movie, he's just a total jerk and spends, like I said, the first half hour of the movies on Sand Planet. But I was also going to say the style of characters for Star Wars was also very different. We don't see a lot of those nowadays.
Yeah, well, certainly I was going to say the costumes and all, like, it has a very 70s feel to it. I feel like, not that I know what the 70s really feels like, but like, there's a very specific feel to the original Star Wars movies that is, it's really funny when they have to duplicate that in the newer films. Like, did you see Rogue One by any chance?
I did, yes, and I did not like it, so.
Oh, but I was thinking, especially like at the very end of the movie where you basically get the bridge from that film into Episode 4, like, and you see everyone wearing these crazy straight out of 1970s costumes. Like, it's weird because they're really very much trying to match it to the original film, but it's so jarring in the way they do it.
I know. So Star Trek had the same thing, you know, when they went back in time to the original 60s films and the soap opera show that I watched. It's like, some of it works, a lot of it doesn't, but there were a lot of jokes. It was a comedy episode about how awful the things were. And then they had the guy trying to figure out how to use a flip phone because he doesn't know how they work. That was a hilarious shot.
But still, okay, back to Star Trek then. So I have very little experience with Star Trek. I forget, we might have talked about this before. I've seen like a couple episodes of the original series, and then I've seen movies number 2, 3, and 4.
Mm-hmm.
I really like the Saving the Whales movie. It's so ridiculous.
It's great.
But my favorite part, so like the Star Trek gang goes to Earth in what passed for the present day. I guess I don't know when the movie was
made. It was
the
exact same year the movie was made. That's a Star Trek thing. They're always going to present day when they travel to the past.
When the guy He encounters an Earth computer, and he picks up the mouse and says, "Computer," like he's trying to activate it. And I just thought, I was dying laughing. My wife and I have been like quoting that scene for going on 6 or 7 years at this point because we thought it was so goofy.
That's ridiculous. Okay, and I was gonna say, back to Star Wars. I guess we could. Yes. I'll try to wrap this up. The character type of Luke is not one we see very often anymore. It reminds me of Telemachus from The Odyssey, which is his character art is he kind of starts off as a whiny brat and he slowly, you know, takes up the mantle of being a hero. And it's like, yes, that's a legitimate character arc, a legitimate storyline, but people don't like watching it because you have to see our character be a brat for a good portion of the film. So I feel like that's the reason we don't see those character arcs very more, and why when people read The Odyssey, my only experience is that in like high school, so I could be wrong, but everybody hated that character who had the exact same arc, Odysseus' son.
So let's talk about video games. What do you think?
Yeah, so in video game news, I've been doing... I had two games come out.
Yeah, was that intentional? Were they supposed to come out?
That was not intentional in the slightest. That was a surprise to me. I had no idea when hosted games, or choice of games, I don't know which term to refer to it as. I think it's hosted games, but I had no idea when they were going to release the game, because I had submitted it to them in January, and it just came out sometime in July. So,
and it was, what was it? It was like 2 days before or after?
2 days after, they did not tell me ahead of time what the release date would be. So what I found out is, you know, every couple of days I was checking their blog post, because they've got a blog saying, okay, here's all the games we've accepted this year, here are our anticipated release dates. And so every now and then they update it when they actually have a release date. So I'm like, I'm still two games behind in the list, if that makes sense. There are two games before me, ahead of me in the list. And the one of them was scheduled for a Steam release as well. So I actually went to Steam and saw their game was like released on the supposed to be released on the 14th or 15th. And I think my game came out on the 16th. So I was expecting like a huge gap in between my game.
Yeah.
More than a day, I'll say.
But it looks like, I saw that it was released on, I think it was Android too, and I saw that you have a lot of reviews on Android, like way more than any of our Steam games, I think.
What?
Oh no, you haven't even seen that?
Oh no, now I'm scared. Should be interesting.
What's the name of the game? The Courting of Miss Bennett, yeah.
Yeah, it should be interesting, because when I sent it to Hosted Games, they sort of give you some autonomy over how the game's going to be presented. So I think I picked... I don't remember because it's been like 5 months, but I'm pretty sure I picked the game is free with ads and you can pay to disable ads. But they decided to go with the first four chapters are free and you pay to unlock the entire game. So the reason why I think I did it the original way is because I wrote my trailer... You know, I wrote a trailer for the game, you know, back when. And in the trailer, one of the selling points is, ooh, did I mention the game is totally free?
Right.
And so I kind of had to cut that line out of the trailer because they switch payment methods on me. I presume they know better than I do which one is better. But no, okay, so the game was released June 7th, my mistake. And... Okay, this is what happened. It leapfrogged the game, which was being co-released on Steam. It looks like the game that's being released on Steam is being released tomorrow.
Okay.
So that's why my game was so unexpected released. There was a game ahead of me in line for a while, but I leapfrogged it by 2 weeks.
Yeah, that game got pushed back,
pushed
I guess,
back
for,
2 weeks.
For whatever
Doomsday
reason.
On Demand. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm looking at your Android reviews right now, so... You have 30 plus reviews and 70 ratings.
Wow.
Yeah, like okay, so 30, I think Cat President beats you by number of reviews, but 70 ratings, like I've never even seen a number that high in our experience. And you have 4 out of 5 stars average too.
Oh my
so well
gosh.
Done.
Wow.
Yeah, dude, go you.
I'm surprised, to be honest. Part of the reason I'm so surprised is like the first four chapters were what I wrote with Diana Gray like 3 years ago. And then the rest of the game was all written by me, you know, during NaNoWriMo in November. So I feel like there's probably going to be some disconnect between the first four chapters and the rest of the book, which I feel like that could be kind of awkward because the first four chapters are what everyone plays. And then all of a sudden I go hardcore into, I go somewhat hardcore into using Elizabethan, it's not Elizabethan style, but whatever, Regency style phrasing and giant, not giant, but overblown commas everywhere where they're not necessary.
Lo and behold, one of the reviews I'm looking at right now is says they like it, but it shifts in tone between Pride and Prejudice and more modern tone. So, but
oh, that's on purpose.
That's on purpose.
The characters use modern slang on purpose. So originally the plan was to have modern style and then old style, but that would involve like making the game twice as long.
It's already
200,000 words. It's actually like 198,000, but rounding. So it sounds better to say 200,000 words. In any case, it's on purpose where it kind of shifts back and forth between the style, but I tried to make it less jarring.
Mm-hmm. No, like I said, I mean, the vast majority of the reviews are positive. Average 4 out of 5 stars, which I think is pretty good. That sounds very good to me.
I hope that I make money on it. So
yeah, I can't tell if the game, I can definitely install it for free on Google, but I don't know if it's a thing where like you were saying, you get the first few chapters for free and then the rest are an in-app purchase, or if it's ads or both. It doesn't really say.
It says okay. But, well, I mean, the online one is buy it now for $2.99. I don't know about the App Store. Ooh, it's also available on Amazon. I'll see what Amazon does.
Oh man.
Free download. In-app purchases, so that makes it sound like it's going to be the first four chapters are free, and then you pay to unlock the rest of it. Ooh.
Oh, no reviews on Amazon.
No reviews, but I'm number 568 in role-playing games. This is not a role-playing game. What?
Role-playing game? All right. I mean, it's a role-playing in the game in the sense that literally every game is a role-playing game in that you are playing a role, but...
Top 100 games, Gymnastic Superstar, Animal Jam, My Talking Cat, My Talking Dog, Love Nikki, Dress Up Queen. No, why am I losing to Love Nikki, Dress Up Queen?
You're losing by a lot, it sounds like.
I'm losing by several hundred, yes.
How is Mermaid Mission Titanic doing?
Mermaid Titanic is doing much better, thank you, I think. Like I said, I have no idea how well. It's not getting as many reviews. I don't know how many reviews it's gotten in total. In fact, I should look it up right now.
Well, I bet, too, part of the reason you're getting so many reviews is because the game is a free download, at least. So, like, our games on Steam, you have to pay up front, so you can't review it until you pay it. But if it's free, you know, anyone can go for it.
Yeah, I feel like that's part of it, yeah. So let's see if I've gotten any reviews for Mermaid Mission Titanic. I've gotten the one from somebody I know, or at least, you know, likes some of my tweets, so that's good.
Yeah. I rated it as helpful. It's a helpful review.
Yay! Yeah, that was a helpful review. It didn't like the interface, the graphic novel interface. It's like, which is okay. But I'm not allowed to say sales figures, but do you know how many sales you need to make before the trading cards come free?
The trading cards, no, I don't. I can tell you that Francie Drew and Friends has not hit that threshold yet.
Okay, so I'm actually going to get some ads going next week when I'm on vacation, so we'll see those work or at least pay for themselves. Facebook ads
please tell me.
Were ridiculous. Me trying to figure out how to get them to work. So it's weird. A/B testing was actually like much cheaper than just a straight ad. And by that I mean they gave me two options. Number one, it's like, okay, you can have your ad run in sidebars, or you can submit two versions of the same ad. One goes to a specific audience, another goes to a different specific audience.
Oh, weird.
And you can change the distribution, so it's like 50-50 or 60-40, 90-10. They charge a lot more if it's 90-10 for whatever reason, but it was under $20 for me to do a 50-50 split, and it would have been like over $70 for me just to do the single ad targeted towards this one group.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't understand why they did it that way, but that's the way it was, so... Oh my gosh, uploading video games to Steam is a nightmare. Now that the game's out, I feel much better about it, but that is just the worst. I wrote a guide on how to do it in case I ever have to do it again. So, oh,
can you share it with me?
Yes.
Because I found a YouTube tutorial that I like skip around on every time I need to do it.
That tutorial, I know that tutorial. It has a couple of problems. Problem number one, it's outdated. The Steam interface doesn't look like that anymore. So it's a couple years old. You can kind of figure it out, but that's still a problem. Problem number two, I wrote this out in my guide, is the person who does the tutorial is like, okay, I've already logged on to this system here, so we're gonna, it doesn't explain how to log on to the system, which is not helpful, especially because it's
that's one of the hardest parts.
It's hidden somewhere inside the folder, and
yes,
let me see how many.
Just finding the stupid file that you're supposed to use is awful.
Anyway, it's just really awful. I don't know why they designed it that way. It's so much better with itch.io, where you just drop the zip file into just upload
just
the
like
bloody thing.
Your browser, as opposed to using what's basically a DOS interface. It feels like I'm hacking the mainframe when I'm uploading a game to Steam. It's I'm sure they have a very good reason for it. I don't know what that reason is, though.
Yeah, well, as I might have mentioned, I'm being hired as a consultant for the Amelia Darnell people.
Yeah.
So that's one of the things they specifically wanted me to help with was how to get a game released on Steam. So I'm glad that's sort of the reason why I took copious notes. I don't know if I'm planning on uploading any other games.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a question I have, something I need to figure out, but I know we've got a couple of projects in the piper, so, gosh, I don't know where I was going with that. Anyway, I finished my two self-publishing games, and I don't know what to do now. Should I self-publish another game or not?
Well, I guess, be curious to see what your sales figures from Choice of Games look like, because maybe that'll be something worth continuing to pursue. Would be another text-based game like that.
Yeah, it makes me wonder what I should do, if that game's popular, if I would do, I don't know, another game in that vein. I just don't know what it would be. Like Pride and Prejudice in Space, Pride and Prejudice and Murder,
are there
Sense and Sensibility.
This is going to be a very ignorant-sounding question. Like, are there actual sequels to Pride and Prejudice? Like, is Sense and Sensibility a Pride and Prejudice?
No, it's just written by the same author, and it's the same genre, so that's it.
All right. Okay, well, yeah, I guess it really just depends on what kind of numbers you see from both of these games to help you figure out what you want to work on next.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as I know, you mentioned today, we've been going back and forth on different ideas for different games. I know you mentioned today, it's like, well, we wouldn't be able to work on any of these games in like 6 years. So cool
well,
your
yeah,
jets there, bro.
Well, I mean, we have two projects we're currently working on. One's, will be hopefully wrapped up by the end of the summer. And that being Pizza Boy and Internet Court. And then I think we had previously decided that we want our next game to be the Room Escape adventure game. So whatever we work on next is going to be the game that comes after that, or I guess after Internet Court, but you know what I mean. We're starting to develop a bit of a queue.
Yeah, but I mean, that's fair. So let's see, the other games... Let's see if I have any questions.
Oh, yeah, sure.
We need names for the characters for mom games. All of the names are placeholders. I'm tired of naming my wife in games.
Yeah, wait, please, can you please list some of the names you came up with? Because I really enjoyed them.
Katie Gray, Laura Bush, yeah. Rosa Parks, and Nancy Hardy.
Yeah, no, I think we're going to leave those in. Those sound perfect. I don't see what the problem is.
It was going to be Nancy Reagan, but then I realized, wait, I have a last name for Nancy already. and her child is Joe. Obviously, Nancy and Frank named it after Joe, Frank's brother, clearly. Yeah. Oh, Laura's name was Laura because you wanted a love triangle character, so her last name is Laura Love Triangle.
Okay.
All right. I feel like that should be like a fix. No,
we're leaving that in also. That's perfect.
We at least need a name for sister and the main character. I guess should the player pick the main character's name?
Yeah, people seem to like that. I think it's fun.
It's funny. I've had people like send pictures at me from the mermaid game of the stupid names they came up with for the
yes.
mermaid.
Yes. No, every time I test Pizza Boy, I always name the main character who is played by you. I always name him something like John Cena or The Rock or, you know.
Ridiculous.
Michael Jordan. It's the best part that I play through the whole game is Michael Jordan. It's fun. Which is actually a problem, because then if I want to take screenshots for like the Steam page or whatever to share on Twitter, I'm like, oh, wait. Now it's going to say Michael Jordan all over it.
So let's see. It looks like Sexy Booty is... Oh, my goodness.
Well, should we talk about the game that might be the cause of this bottleneck? The project that we have not done much work on yet, but it's a big project for us.
I will. I just wanted to say also the dolphin. Yeah. People like calling the dolphin tuna.
Okay.
I thought Flipsy was a great name for a dolphin, but no.
Tuna.
Okay.
Oh, it's like naming your pig Bacon.
I know.
Oh. But no, so Michael and I should we talk about this?
I've tweeted Twitter. So on Twitter I sent it's like, okay, what project do you all want me to see? Here are various projects we are working on. I forget what the fourth project was. I think it was the sexy Catholic priest one, wasn't it?
I'm really sad that one got bumped on the list. I'm not going
to
lie.
I'm totally not in like the mindset to play it.
I understand.
But
I'm
definitely more in a mindset to do Encyclopedia Brown or the mom stuff. But it's weird that I've written like 18 like Encyclopedia Brown reviews and I posted like two of them. So I've been in a huge binge of Encyclopedia Brown recently.
Sure.
But I asked, you know, is it too late to work on Cat President DLC? And people said, no, 71% no. But this was only 35 votes. So yeah. I don't know if that's an accurate portrayal of like the actual gaming world.
Well, we talked about this in a few different email threads, but the reason I'm reluctant to do the Cat President DLC, besides the big one, which is the hell do I know about making DLC?
How are we going to upload that to Steam?
It's the first, right? Like, I can barely upload a regular game.
I had to upload my stupid game like 50 times, and then the weird thing was the Apple version didn't work when I bundled them together in RenPy. And so I had to, the Linux and the Windows version just came fine, so I bundled them together, and then I had to export separately on its own as just a Mac, because for whatever reason, all three of them together didn't work. You said that worked when you did it, right?
Yeah, I just do the all, whatever the all button is, I push that
one.
Yeah,
I wish that had happened, because then I wouldn't have to do the, you know, the DOS interface. I could have done the simple just upload online.
Wait, there's a way you can do that?
It's in beta.
It's in beta. All right, maybe that's why I haven't seen it yet.
Yeah, so it said beta only for game that's under 250 MB. I'm like, yes, just made it. But if I bundle the Mac version separately, it basically copies instead of sharing assets, it has to recreate its assets all for the Mac version. So that puts it over 250 and just shoots me in the foot. So yeah, so even doing DLC would be a monster. I don't even know what the various, like, depot? What even is a depot?
I have no idea what a depot is. I wish I could tell
I'm
you.
I'm glad.
Maybe that's... So our friend Jetty from Game Cola keeps offering on Facebook to help with the programming stuff, and maybe I should take him up on that at some point, because he seems like someone who would know what a depot is. Do you agree?
I do.
I bet he knows.
You know, I've got one of my random side game ideas, which I should probably throw at him at some point to see if it's actually possible, but I was thinking of doing, like, a Fire Emblem side game, because I wrote out some rules for how it would work, but, I mean, this is like a, what have you called, strategy RPG game, mm-hmm. So it's like I'd have to figure out...
I don't think you could do that with
RenPy. I'd have to figure out a way to program it so, you know, the computer picks what you do, but I think I've got the entire attack system and leveling up system and stat system figured out. It's just I have no idea how to program it, so...
So yeah, the DLC, it's sort of unfortunate. Michael has a very like a whole big script written out for it already, but because of that reason, and also because like we had originally talked about trying to finish it before the midterm elections, and that's like 3 months away.
Yeah, I wrote the DLC like I'm seeing the date. It's like I started this in December of 2016. So
yeah. We had a little trouble working it into our schedule. Now it's late for that milestone. Mm-hmm. But what we've been talking about and the thing I've been sort of building up for the last few minutes is we're in the very 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 early stages of a full sequel to Cat President, Cat President 2. We're getting pretty serious about it. So one of the projects I'd set aside for myself today was reading through Michael's DLC script and trying to figure out what parts we could adapt into a potential full sequel, so that we don't just totally lose all of that work that Michael already put into it.
Yeah, I felt like, I don't know, it would be stupid for us to offer it as DLC for the sequel, but it could also work as like, oh, this is why Rover isn't in the sequel. Here's the DLC story that I recycled and made no changes to.
Well, so I had some ideas. I'll email you the very very like minutia specific stuff I was thinking about. But for that specifically, okay, let me go back for a second. One of the things that Michael and I need to decide is which character from Cat President is going to be the president in the sequel, right?
Yeah, that's a like, huge deal.
It's a whole thing. It's a whole thing. So we can get into that in a couple minutes, but one of the things I've been looking at is for whichever character is the president, like, we could add it as a bonus content. We could program that character's pathway into the game as, like, a bonus thing that you unlock after completing one of the pathways that, like, shows you what this character's been doing in the last 4 years, something like that.
Oh, wow, sort of I hadn't even thought about that.
Yeah. That's pretty good, right?
Yeah, okay, I'll add that to the list.
That can salvage at least one of the pathways. And like I said, I have a lot of thoughts on it. And I told, as I emailed you earlier, that I couldn't respond to it in time because it was going to take me too long to write it all before the podcast started. But you'll be getting that tomorrow. So now, what we've been talking about is trying to decide who the president is going to be. And what I absolutely 100% think we should do is hold, like, an election on Steam. Like, we'll do a big post on the Steam forums for Cat President and literally have people vote on who's the president in the sequel. And, I mean, that'll determine, like, which ending in Cat President 1 is, like, the canon ending. I think that would be a really cool way to involve the community, the fans. I think that's so cool. I really hope we do that. But yeah, so that's sort of where we are. So that's one of the reasons we need to figure out who the president is, because I think that'll sort of lay the foundation for a lot of this. Like, literally, the script is not written. We're still talking about, like, what... character, like, what archetypes, what kind,
like,
of characters
what would be
we
the
want.
Main, like, how many characters? I think six should work,
like,
but...
I think it should be six, because that's what we did last time. But yeah, I have no idea who the main character is. I don't think it should be the same one as the last game, but I had this thought, this problem we could run into is, if the main character from Cat President 1 shows up in Cat President 2, what's their name?
Default name.
I guess, isn't that going to be, that's going to suck for people who played the original and name them something else, though. They're going to be like, who is this person? It'll be like me playing Final Fantasy IV the after years all over again.
Oh, there's no way to look up what that person's name is. Well, I guess we could always, the character pick their name, so.
Yeah, that was sort of what I was thinking, too. And, like, if we do the bonus pathway idea I had before, like, the main character from Cat President is the main character in all the DLC pathways, so if we include one of those, we'll also have to make sure the player has the opportunity to name the character then, so it's...
Well, at the start of every DLC, it's that there's a part where you get to pick the main character's name.
Oh, perfect.
That's at the start of every single DLC. I should note that the DLC is purposely only, like, three or four chapters long per storyline rather than, like, 10, so...
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think that's another reason why it'll work good is like a nice little just bonus pathway if we were able to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but yeah. So there's a lot of so many unanswered questions at this point. Like we've really only gotten semi-serious about it in the last few days. But there's, I mean, I'm getting pretty excited about it. And so the reason this is causing a bit of a bottleneck for us is I'm working on two games right now. If Escape Room is next, then Cat President 2. Has to be the one, the next project after that, has to be the next project, right? Because otherwise, mm-hmm. There's not going to be enough time to finish it before the 2020 election, which is our target. Like, we want to be able to release it in time for the election. That's what we did last time, too.
Yeah, so. I feel like that would be smart, yeah.
I think that worked out well for us last time, sort of when the election hits its crescendo of people talking about it. It's a good time to release a game about it, get us some good coverage. So that's why... The mom game, the sexy priest game, the Encyclopedia Brown game, anything else will have to wait then to be added to our schedule until we finish one of those projects that we haven't really started yet. So, that's where we are with that.
Yeah, it'll be fun, I suppose. I don't know.
Well, like I said, I mean, if you want, you're certainly welcome to work on Encyclopedia Round Game if you want or whatever. Like, I'm not gonna stop you from trying to self publish them.
I'm just laughing because I was like, I have no idea how to pick which character types and what you sent me like a list of 50 and then I'm like,
I did. I sent you so many.
And
characters
then I had like
Cat
three
President.
Characters I specifically wanted to, which were nowhere on your list.
That's fine.
It's like, I want somebody who doesn't have a platform. All they do is just yell about how much they hate the current president. Because I know that's going to be like one of the forerunners.
Oh no, I didn't put that on my response
that's
list.
That's not
didn't
on your
that.
Short list.
No, because I was because I saw a character who yells a lot. And I'm like, oh, that's too much like Thunderfall. I'm not sure. But we can keep working on it. There's no... I mean, yeah,
oh, now I
want to be able to start the game in the next, like, you know, 6 months or whatever. We don't need to start it tomorrow.
Oh. Yeah, yeah, okay. I did do a blog post back in the day, August 2016. It's like, here's what a Bander's pathway might be, so...
Oh, you already even have that to start.
I outlined it, yeah, but it's specifically, it follows right after the Thunderpaw, so it takes place in Thunderpaws. Chapter 1, Fallout from the Debate... Frisky's campaign earlier ended in that pathway, so that means there's only three viable candidates.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, one of the characters we're talking about is to be a playable, or to be a one of the candidates is Banders, Thunderpaw's weird hippie brother from the first game, since he was a pretty popular side character. There were actual reviews, people saying that they wanted a Banders pathway, and I know I'm pretty sure Michael's a fan of the character, so it made sense to bring him,
that,
to bring him
that
back.
That would mean I'd have to do more singing, wouldn't I?
Yes! Yes!
I know the Dr. Nom Nom's DLC also features one of the side characters, Jason.
Jason.
Somewhat prominently, so.
The sad sack cat.
That was a random idea we had while, you know, in the original game. It's like, what about all these cats that we see that are also running for president but don't make it? It's like, should we write something for them? But then we didn't do that DLC, so.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, that's sort of one of the reasons why I'm going through the DLC and trying to see what we can use, because I don't want all that time you spent on it to be totally for waste, so I want to try to do as much as we can with it. use whatever we can as starting points, incorporate it into the game however we can. So,
yeah, if anybody has any good ideas for like a specific character type, please let us know.
We want to make Cat President too. Can you guys tell us what it should be?
I know I put out like a call for that when we were doing the original Cat President. It's like, is there any politician you want to see us lampoon? And then somebody picked like a politician from the 80s, I think. And I'm like, no! Thank you, fans. So,
ouch.
But that was during the DJ Nibbles pathway, I believe. So I went with somebody else.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to be lack for characters. I think the bigger problem is going to be us trying to just decide which six characters we want to be in the game.
Yeah.
Rather than we don't have enough ideas.
And I think no matter which characters we pick, people are going to try to read them into the people who are actually running for president at the time.
So that's something Michael and I also talked about a bit in our email thread, was that I sort of think we should make the game less specific parodies of specific politicians, just because I think it dates the game and you know, whatever. It doesn't appeal to me as much as a player of these games. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I you're 100% correct. No matter what we do, people are going to try to assign politicians to this one, just like they did the original
one.
Yeah,
I saw that. Like, people are like, oh, obviously Rover is supposed to be Ted Cruz. I'm like, what?
Because Ted Cruz is secretly a dog. Did
no, you know that? He's not a dog, I'm sure.
I'm sure we've talked about this before, but I love that. Love isn't the right word, but I laugh so much when I see comments from people talking about any of our games and saying that this is so obviously a reference to Pokemon or whatever. I'm like, I don't think it is. This is a reference to Yu-Gi-Oh! Like, I've never watched or played Yu-Gi-Oh!
Neither,
so it probably isn't, like...
That's happened to me, like, somebody, you know, I had a video, I said, hey, how's it going? And somebody's like, oh my gosh, that's a Phineas and Ferb reference. I'm like, no! I was just asking people, how's it going?
Wait, did you see I think it was like, SpongeBob, I forget what the reference was, but there was like, did I talk about this last month?
I don't think so.
There was some phrase that we used in a game, and I don't remember what the phrase was, but then someone in the comments, like, quoted that and said, lol, SpongeBob, and there was, like, a whole big discussion, like, no, that's just a phrase, that's just a regular phrase.
Can you feel
like, yeah,
it?
But it was
yeah,
only a phrase
like
after SpongeBob, like, what?
Was it a phrase like, can you feel it? I'm just giving an example of something which was used in SpongeBob, but you could totally use it without intending it to be a SpongeBob joke.
It's like a thing that exists. Like, it's like, no, dude, this is just a phrase. It predates SpongeBob. It postdates SpongeBob. It, some would argue, has nothing to do with SpongeBob.
I'm ready.
Anyway.
Yeah, something like that.
Anyway, let's answer some listener questions. Okay, so some questions from Twitter from our fan base. We got this one from Elizabeth Pfeffer, super fan of O-Rock Studios, I think it's safe to say. She wants to know, and I think this one's specifically for you, Michael. Why did you choose... this is actually two parts. Let me give you the first one first. Why did you choose Titanic for your game?
That's an interesting question. I knew I was going to write a mermaid game because I was pitching it to Heart's Choice, and one of the genres they were looking for was supernatural, and I didn't want to do vampires or werewolves because I feel like that's been overdone, vampire romance, werewolf romance. Mm-hmm. So mermaid romance. So I knew it was going to be a story about a mermaid going on to land, and for whatever reason I just decided to go with Titanic. I wanted it specifically to be in that era. I wanted the game to be set in, like, the early 1900s, and so my mind just went with Titanic. That's vaguely mermaid theme. It deals with the ocean and water. But mainly, I just wanted her to come on land and be surprised by human technology, which kind of didn't make it into the original game. I mean, it didn't make it into the final game, but that was the original idea behind it. So that's why I wanted it to be in the early 1900s. As opposed to modern day, because I feel like if somebody just comes out of water modern day, they would not be surprised by technology as much, because everything's computers. That's not as exciting as walking on land and seeing, oh my gosh, there are cars and light bulbs And you come on today, it's like, oh, that's run by a computer. Oh, that's run by a computer. And that's run by a computer. And that's run by a computer. That was my entire thought process.
Oh, I love it.
So that's my answer.
And part two of her question, do you watch, and this one's more for both of us, I think, do you watch court shows like The People's Court or Judge Judy? Did they influence you guys to make Internet Court?
I've never seen any court shows, really. I know who Judge Judy is, neither. But...
I barely know who Judge Judy is. No, I think it's safe to say, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but I think it's safe to say we were much, much, much more inspired by the Ace Attorney series. Mm-hmm. Does that sound right to
Definitely.
You? Basically wanted to make an FMV version of Phoenix Wright. That's sort of where that came from. Sorry, no court dramas for us.
Yeah. Didn't we play, like, the one Law & Order game where they had a courtroom segment?
That's right, we did. I played one of the episodes with you.
Yeah, that was it. I did one with...
Gamecola's channel?
Yeah, I did one with Diana, and that was it, so we didn't play any of the others.
Yeah. Yeah, so I guess... Yeah, that would be the sum total of my experience of courtroom TV shows, is playing one episode of... It was Telltale, wasn't it? Wasn't it a Telltale game? Well, yeah, Telltale's Law & Order, which until right now I forgot was a thing. So we actually had another question. This one's from Hugh Miller, who is actually going to be one of the actors of Internet Court, and also one of the models in Pizza Boy. So maybe we should actually have him on the podcast sometime.
Oh, yeah.
He wants to know, and this ties into Elizabeth's question really well, where do you get your ideas for your games? It seems like you've had the most amazing palette of ideas, from cats running for president to magical beards to time-traveling pizza boys. What's next, and how do you do it? So I guess we kind of already talked about what's next, the next several games that we're thinking about and working on.
Yeah, I have no idea. Where did you come up with magical beard?
So I think... I'm assuming that's a reference to The Beard in the Mirror. Unfortunately, that's the one I really can't take too much credit for, because I mean that was Lizzo's, my wife's Lizzo's project to start. I didn't really jump in until a little while after she'd already been coding and writing and doing all the art and everything. So I mean that's all her. I know it came from a desire to make a Sierra style adventure game, something that looked and felt like the sort of thing she played when she was growing up, but yeah, that's all there is to that. Cat President, we probably talked about this before, but from what I remember, Cat President came from us tweeting at each other.
Stupid ideas at each other, yeah.
Yes! Tweeting, can we make a game about talking cats running for president? That's one of my favorite, that's like one of those things where I, you know, tweet back and forth with Michael about a really stupid idea, and then, like, within a day, I already have a 15-page script sitting in my inbox. I believe Cat President was one of those games.
I think I wrote the opening scene up to the point where we meet the cats, and then I just came up with a list of particular cats. And then I wrote down pathway ideas. I don't know where I came up with the idea that each pathway needed to be 10 chapters long, but I sent you a list of all the chapters and what was going to happen in each chapter, and you said, go for it, and then like half of them ended up being nothing like the original plot line.
Yeah.
Like Thunderpaws just went completely off the rails and never went back.
That's right. I think you even talked about that in the behind-the-scenes bonus pathway about that. Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, that was just us bouncing dumb ideas off. I always wonder about that. Like does Tim Schafer like develop design games on Twitter like this? Like does Sid Meier like working on the next Civilization game by like tweeting at his friends like what should I do for the next Civilization game? I feel like I wonder how uniquely Awarok Studios that is. You know, just messing around on Twitter, making games out of it. Same like. A lot of the ones that I work on too, like, and again, this is probably familiar territory for this podcast, but a lot of the things I end up that make it to production on my end are combinations of a bunch of different things that I was thinking about doing at the time. So, like, for example, Life in the Dorms came about because I wanted to make an adventure game, and the programmer I was working with wanted to make a game in a relatively small environment, so we wouldn't have to create too many environment assets. And I had a pretty bad experience in dorms in college, and it was on my mind a lot, and I wanted to make a game making fun of it. So, you know, kind of put all those ideas together in a paper bag and shake it up, and out comes Life in the Dorms. Like, stuff like that. Like, Awkward Steve was a game, was based on the fact that I wanted to make an FMV game. I knew that I was going to have to be the only character, and that it was going to be set in my house, because that's what I could afford. I think it ended up being this weird artsy thing because I had just seen the episode of Gilmore Girls where Kirk makes a weird indie film, and that was sort of bouncing around in my head, you know. And the social anxiety part came from, I had been talking with a friend about making a game about it was going to be more of an adventure game, but about a guy who was having trouble answering the door. So that project never went anywhere, so I sort of co-opted that for this other thing that I was bouncing around with, so. You know, they come from a bunch of different weird places, basically.
Yeah, I've got a folder full of random game ideas or, you know, things that I wrote but haven't gone anywhere. So, I mean, I've got my original pitch for the lawyer game still, which looks nothing like the way looks now. It's just called Lawyer Game. I think there was another lawyer game, a second one that you wanted, Trial by Hellfire. So I've still got that.
Oh, yeah.
And I've got, like,
that was a good idea.
And then I've got other random things. Craft Store Romance. Love on the Oregon Trails one. It's like, oh, I've got to resurrect that someday. And then our old adventure game that we were going to do.
Oh, until we realized that other people already did the same
thing.
Yeah,
and the book that I was thinking of adapting because I can't write mysteries. That ended up not working.
I wonder, that's another thing, like, I wonder, I mean, I guess this is probably true for other designers and developers, they just kind of have a Word document or a piece of paper somewhere where they have lists of ideas that they want to work on in the future. Like, I have the same thing, I had what do I have? Oh, actually, here's a crossover with the Game Cola podcast. Alex to Alex has been an idea sitting in my head for a while. Dating sim, or was it an FMV game about a dating website where everybody's named Alex, like, and they're all played by Jetty, like, just goofy stuff like that. I have
that 7-page script. Alex to Alex. No, I wrote 7 pages of it. It's just been sitting there. I haven't looked at it since.
Yeah, I think it's because I have a version of that too that I. Then that idea sort of morphed into this even weirder idea I had been playing around with, an FMV game called Perfectly Normal Love in the Cool Dude's House. Just going to be a game about where you're, something about you're answering a personal ad to go to these, this house with a bunch of different brothers who are all living together and go talk to all of them and see which one you want to date. It was the stupidest thing. So these are the ideas that don't make it off of the drawing room table.
Yeah.
Whatever. So that's another thing, too, I guess, is the games that end up being finished products are often the games that, like I've been saying, can combine a lot of things that we've been thinking about and wanting to make. And also just, like, the ideas we get most excited about or the ideas that we are able to go the farthest with. Those are the ones that end up getting made. I actually had an idea for an Awkward Steve sequel, too, but I'm not going to talk about that yet. In case I ever end up actually doing it. But that's it's another one of those ideas that I had a quick thought for, but never really fleshed it out, so who knows if it'll ever happen, if it'll ever happen. Anyway, I hope that answers your question, Hugh. Thanks for writing, and Elizabeth, thanks for writing. And what do you say? I think that that'll do it for this episode. Does that sound right to you?
Yep, sounds good.
Yeah, all right. Thanks for listening, everyone. You can follow us on Twitter. I'm at Paul M. Franzen, and Michael is at Arglefump, which is spelled exactly as it sounds. You can check out all of our games on Steam or itch.io, or just visit oarock.com for the complete library. Our theme song is Dead Monster by March of the Danger Men. You can check them out on SoundCloud. Our latest game is the Francie Drew and Friends Collection, an anthology.
It's a group of 5 different indie games.
Yes. Little weird little visual novels, you know. It's fun. Go check it out on Steam if you haven't yet. Based on our sales figures, you probably haven't, so I don't know why you're taking so long. And finally, if you have any questions about game development or our game specifically, we would love to hear them. Just go ahead and email them to podcast@oarock.com. Is there anything you'd like to add, Michael?
Bleep, bloop, blop, bleep. That's my great Star Wars reference.
Thanks for listening, everybody. We'll see you next month.
Yeah, next month.
That was fun.
Then I'm going to come back to her and say, "Hi, can you draw hot anime guys?" And then hopefully she'll say yes.